At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome in after the long break. Jacob Albrock, DJ Cleland here. Glad to be back with you after a few days off to enjoy the holidays. Hope everybody had a great and happy Thanksgiving, and hope everybody is gearing up and get ready for the Christmas season. It certainly feels like December outside as we turn the calendar this morning. Glad to be here with you. We've got all kinds of fun for you today. We have, of course, our KFH hotline open for you at 869-1240. You can get in touch with the show via our video streams, 12 News Connected, YouTube, X, all the different ways to watch the show. And thank you for tuning in on the Odyssey app as well. We've got a lot of fun for you today. Paul Mills, Wichita State head men's basketball coach, should be here a little later in this hour. The Shockers fresh back from the Bahamas. An interesting trip, a disappointing trip. We'll have a lot to dig into on that. We also have Joshua Briscoe from the Chiefs Radio Network in during the show today. Boy, there's a lot to digest since the last time we talked to you. With the Chiefs, surrounding the Chiefs, what did everybody else do yesterday? They haven't played in what feels like forever. So we'll get to all of that. College football in the books. One team makes a bowl. The other team doesn't make a bowl. Of course, the other college basketball action. It's a lot to cram in here to a Monday, and it's all brought to you what's on tap by Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring Christmas cocktail menu. Dazzle your date with a stockings and snowfall. Make merry with mistletoe mint or gather the girls for a pumped espresso martini. The Christmas cocktail menu now available at Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Jacob, I did this exercise last night for the TV biz, but we'll do it for the radio because it's even worse for radio since we haven't talked since Wednesday. We should like open this up as a poll to the listeners of what do you want us to talk about? The Chiefs might not make the playoffs. KU football didn't make a bowl. Avery Johnson openly talked about he has things to talk about regarding the transfer portal. Shocker basketball goes 0-3 in the Bahamas. Like, there's a longer list than that. It keeps on going from there. It's chaos. Like I woke up at 5 a.m. today because I'm like, I cannot miss the first start of the show because there's so much we have to talk about.
And do we even pile on the national topic of Lane Kiffin?
I know that might be Thursday before we talk about that.
No, and not getting to poor guy didn't even get to coach in the bowl game. Poor thing. All right. So we do have a lot and we have some great guests today for you. I think, you look across it yesterday, because it's the most recent and what happened and, you know, the Chiefs. And that was, again, a lifetime ago, their loss to the Cowboys, which we'll get into. because there are ramifications there, even off the field, that they're going to have to deal with. But yesterday didn't go their way, right? You know, Houston gets a win.
I want to know the math. Like, was there a number at this point?
Yeah, they got to win them all.
But what will it take for them to be mathematically eliminated? Like, if they lose on Sunday night, is it like the X next to their name? Are they done?
No. Not in the standings page. Is an X next to their name in reality, though, if they lose another game? I think it might be.
An E, not an X. X means you made it.
I mean, the Colts aren't even in first place in their division anymore.
I know.
So now that tiebreaker comes into play. Do we need to start looking at Indianapolis's record and hope they have a same? They got to go to Jacksonville, to Seattle, play San Francisco. They got Houston on the road again. Their schedule gets very tough. I don't know now. Like, is that a team that the Chiefs need to be paying attention to? Because, of course, you beat them, at least, and then you win a tiebreaker. They don't win a lot of tiebreakers, but they win that one. They win the Ravens tiebreaker. They're 6-6, but so is Pittsburgh. So that could be a team that falls down. So, like, you root for Pittsburgh, who I don't know if you saw the hit on Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure I've felt worse for an old man taking a hit.
I saw him sitting on the sideline with blood dripping down his face.
Yeah, he comes up after landing on his broken hand with blood on his face. And I'm like, that guy's my age. Like, you don't just shake that off at my age. Like, that's going to sit with you for a minute. Yeah. I can't clear a cold in 2 weeks, let alone, you know, a broken wrist and face in an NFL football game. So, I don't know what the answer for the Chiefs is. All I do know, and people don't want to hear this, is I feel like they're very much alive still. And if they win them all, which is, of course, the elephant in the room, what are the chances they'll actually do that? But if they win them all, I think they would make it somehow. I think if they win every one of the rest, and it goes back to, we kept saying they needed to go 6-1. That didn't really change with the one loss. It's just that they had the one loss. And the obvious question is, can they win them all? And I don't know, man, they've got their own injury issues now to deal with. So probably not.
The biggest thing that my mind goes to is the fact that you have the Texans coming in, and the Texans are riding a 4-game win streak right now, who just beat the Colts as well. That's the team that you're chasing. Like, I feel like, and they're not even in yet. But if they lose on Sunday Night Football, like that's what up my mind. Just like, what if they lose on Sunday? Like, what happens at that point?
If they lose on Sunday, they won't be mathematically eliminated, but I don't think they're going to make it.
It would literally take like the Chargers losing out or the Colts losing
out. I don't think they'll make it at that point. The Chargers made it through yesterday. There was a brief moment where you were like, are they? And no, they're fine. You've got two games to make up on everybody, right? That's the bottom line. So you're staring at it. And if you're a Chiefs fan, and look, you need Jacksonville, the Chargers, the Colts, Buffalo, all to lose two more games. And you need Jacksonville, Buffalo to lose three more games, really, not two. So those chances, I would say, are low at this point. I think you need Pittsburgh to be better than Baltimore. And you need, which is, again, with Rodgers out, probably isn't going to happen. So Baltimore is going to get in, even though they might have a better record than Baltimore because they may win that division now. It's all a mess, man. It's a mess. But Indianapolis losing, I suppose, is a good development. Them kind of, petering out here at the end is good.
That's what I was going to say. Yesterday, watching that Texans-Colts game, is that you're sitting there thinking about, like, you want the Colts to win because the Chiefs could jump the Texans in the standings. But now, seeing as the way that
you want the Colts now.
Now you need the Colts to lose because, like, you're no longer worried about the Jags at this point, which is kind of, you can finally rest easy about that kind of. So
you don't worry about the Texans because you play the Texans. They can handle because the reality is the Chiefs have to win them all. So if the Chiefs have to win them all, you take care of the Texans on your own. You don't need help to take care of the Texans. You still need help to take care of the Colts. You need help to take care of these other teams. So the Texans, you don't worry about simply because if you don't beat them, you're not making it. So you have to just beat them, and that business is handled.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
I feel like we're talking about the Royals in September, and it sucks.
Yeah, it does. It does suck, except I think the likelihood of the Chiefs doing it is higher, even though it's not very high. It is a little higher. So we'll talk about why it will be so difficult.
It feels like it's not even up to the Chiefs. Like there's no destiny that's controlled by the Chiefs, I feel like.
Well, the Chiefs' problem with controlling destiny is they can't flipping win some of these games. So that's the elephant in the room, is they have to win the rest of their games, and they've got some things working against them now. We'll get into that on the other side. We're just getting revved up on Sports Daily. We got a lot to navigate on a Monday. We'll do it to the best of our ability, and then we'll continue it later in the week. Thanks for being here with us. All Brockton Cleveland, we're coming up.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Six 9 1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you. Glad to be with you. Sports Talk on KFH presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Having some fun with you here on a Monday, trying to recap what has been, we have dubbed a pretty miserable sports holiday week outside of crowning state high school football champions. Kudos to the end of the football season, TJ, to you and the Ketchum, Kansas gang.
Weston Sharks finally gets it done. 43 years, finally gets his first title.
Congrats to all those champions and all those that had great high school football seasons. Ketchumkansas.com to get all caught up on that. It was pretty bad otherwise, though. KU basketball looked good, and we'll get to them throughout the week here. They should have Darren Peterson back now, we think. We don't know that for fact yet, I don't think, but that arrow is pointed up, but K-State basketball, Wichita State basketball.
K-State men didn't play last week, and that's the best thing that they could have done. It was a cursed week.
They did. They played Indiana, but not since we've been gone.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, not since we've been gone. So, you know, it was rough. It was like you just kept hoping for it. You're like, at least we got, and I guess K-State football won. They made their bowl game, but now it's, of course, surrounded by the transfer portal and what happens there and how does that look?
Back-to-back weeks where the headlines out of Manhattan are in the post-game press conference and not in the actual football that's played on the field. We'll start there, I guess. You want to dig into Avery? Is that where you want to go next?
Yeah, that's fine. Look.
So Avery, after the game, somebody asked him the question of, there's going to be questions that arise about your commitment to the program and what your future is at K-State. And he said basically that I'm committed to K-State and I love playing for Coach Klieman, but there's things that have to be, addressed and that he's going to think about and pray about and talk to his parents about. And he said he was going to have a conversation on Saturday with his family and see kind of what they think about everything. And but he still remains committed to K-State and loves Kansas State. So it's a very open-ended answer that leaves two main paths open for him. But it's the first time that it's significant. But it's the first time we've ever heard him talk about that there is something else out there openly, and that's the thing you take away from that.
Yeah, it's not surprising. It's on it to me. It's a pretty honest answer, and I it's about where you'd peg it, right? I've never thought, like, up until this point, I've never sat and thought, man, Avery Johnson just kind of feels like he might not want to be there, right? Or something's just off or seems weird. We got that vibe with Dylan Edwards, whether it was true or not. We've never had any of that with Avery Johnson. I don't think if Avery leaves, people ask us this all the time. I don't think if he leaves, it has much to do with his love for K-State.
And I think that's what that answer tells you as well. Yeah. I think that's very much the, I want to be here.
I think Avery loves K-State.
But like financially speaking, future speaking, like,
yeah, I think, look, K-State doesn't have the money that some of the programs that will probably court Avery Johnson have, but they probably have enough for solely Avery Johnson if they...
And listen, Avery is not making this decision to get a bigger NIL check.
I don't think so either.
It's 100%. If it happens, it's going to be because he wants to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
And if it's not trending that way at Kansas State, like playing with one of the top receiving cores in the country or something like that is going to help that a lot. And so I think that would be the reason that you do that. And I think that the other part of it as well is the fact that if you're not going to be able to do that at Kansas State and go to the NFL, like, you're trying to capitalize while you're in college. Yeah. And that's what college has become. And that's why,
it would be different too if he has, In the eyes of a lot of people, I think he's regressed as an NFL prospect. And so he's got to correct that too, right? Yeah. Like his ability hasn't changed. He has to go do the things we know he's capable of. And the real question is, will he be able to do that at K-State? Whether it be because of coordinators, whether it be because of, his weapons to work with. I mean, you took Dylan Edwards away from him basically the entire year this year, and good for Joe Jackson for having such a great finish to the season. But you took that weapon away, kind of Jace Brown and a bunch of tight ends. No offense to the receiving core, but that's the reality of it.
Yeah, and that's what it's been. That's what it was last year as well. That's what he's had.
That's why I think as much as anything else, it's not like it's not commitment to the program. It's not any of that stuff. It's like if you're Avery or if you're close to Avery, it's like, man, if you're going to be in the NFL, you have to go take a chance.
And I mean, like you said,
buy a bunch of NFL players and go put up the best season you can put up. And, you know, if you went and projected it out 2 years ago to, you know, Avery Johnson's draft status, I think a lot of people would have thought of him as a first or second round pick. That's not the case right now. So he's got to recapture that a little bit. And unless something on the roster changes drastically, I'm not sure he'll be able to do it at K-State. And I'm not saying that's going to ultimately be his decision. I'm just saying that's the elephant in the room with the decision. It's not NIL money. It's not any of that. He's made lots of NIL money. Like, it's not that stuff.
I agree.
It's the next step.
It is. And I think that he's in a position where he understands. Like, that's what the biggest story about all of this is the fact that it's not, oh my gosh, like he said something and now I feel like he's going to leave. Because you don't really feel like what he said is like, I'm out, like I'm gone. No. Like, it's him openly being honest, which is great, about the fact of like, I understand the situation that I'm in. And like, and he says it out loud that I can't imagine the situation. Like, it's a pressure cooker that he's in right now, because do you want to be the Kansas kid that leaves K-State, or do you want to give yourself the best opportunity to play in the NFL? Or do you stay and just see what happens? But like, you can't fault him if he goes. That's what we've talked about. If they make changes with the coordinators, he'll have played for four offensive coordinators in 4 years.
Right.
All of his weapons, you know, nobody knows what Jace Brown's status is. People have talked about him as well. If he's somebody that's going to leave, they don't have Dylan Edwards. Like, it's a different team that he'll play for next year. And it's not a team that's going to be projected to win the Big 12 like it was this year.
It's unfortunate. I think you just look to Will Howard. Like, we're in a weird spot too, right? Because normally we would just selfishly say, well, we want the best players to stay at K-State.
Yeah.
Like, period, full stop. This one's a little different, right? This is one of our own homegrown guys. So as we have the discussion, it's like, man, what's the best thing for him? What's the best thing for him? Because I want him playing in the NFL as much as I want him finishing his career at K-State. So it's like, we'll see what else happens with the roster, and that matters, right? But if nothing changes, if they aren't able to go, and that's probably what they're trying to do right this second and yesterday, is to go see what's out there and what big fish could they land on offense to put with him and evaluate the coordinators and do those kinds of things. But if outside of like a major tune-up, it probably is best suits him as his career development to take the Will Howard path and to go try to land in a program. Now, look, here's the other part of this. Those programs have to exist too. Like, he has to have a better opportunity or he won't leave. If there's not a better opportunity, and that can be for a lot of reasons, it could be because people have lost confidence, it could be because they have their quarterback, it could be for a million reasons, then you don't just go, and I don't think he would. At that point, you just stay, right? And so I think this is far from like a final answer on any of this. And then you have the, well, what happens with the bowl game? This isn't Lane Kiffin, where it's like, don't let the door hit you on the way out. You don't get to coach for us anymore, but quick aside, we probably won't get to this today, is the correct decision.
Yes, 100%.
But it's not that. If they would love to have Avery play in the bowl game no matter what, but if Avery leaves, his next team probably would not like that, right? They'd probably like him to get wherever he's going to go as quick as he can.
If he's getting the thing, I mean, if it, It's a calendar thing. I mean, Will Howard didn't play in the bowl game whenever he left. That's what it is. This is whenever players leave. These next 3 weeks is whenever things are going
to
happen.
Yeah, we'd like and to get you a month head start on things, but instead, why don't we? You know, that doesn't happen. So, look, there's a lot that's going to go into it. I don't even know what I hope. I guess the best case scenario is K-State goes ham in the portal. Yeah. And brings in a ton of talented players.
The other side of this pressure cooker that we're talking about is Coach Klieman sitting in his office saying, "Oh my gosh, if we like they I don't want to speak rashly here, but like we got the number one player in the state, the quarterback, to come to K-State that we've been trying to get for years, and we got him here, and we've given him four different coordinators in 4 years. Like, we got to go get him a team. Like, that's basically, I think, what you have to feel like you're K-State right now.
It is. And they've known that behind the scenes for a long time. I do believe that they don't talk to the players about this stuff a whole lot before the time comes. Maybe they would have had a chance
this is the week. This is the week where you talk
right,
about it.
But when people are like, oh, yeah, right, how do they not talk about it? And I'm like, man, like we've got employees for businesses. You know, I've been in past lives a manager in the position you're in now. You don't talk about that stuff before you have to. Like, it's human nature. Like, you're just like, nah, we'll deal with that later. Yeah. So I believe that stuff. I believe those conversations probably are happening. But both sides have had their own personal conversations for months. And have some idea of what's out there. Other teams, I'm certain, have already begun, if they weren't already reaching out to Avery's people. If I know, not
that's
Avery.
That's the other part of this that is broken about college football, is the fact that it's not tampering if you don't talk to Avery Johnson.
They can put every rule on the planet at it. And it's not going to, that's not a real thing.
It's been a thing for decades too. Like, yes, it's been a thing before the transfer portal was a thing.
It's not a new thing,
but like, it's a point, especially now that there's agents, like, and it used to be high school coaches or whoever the representative for you was going to be, that like, it could be a thing where he says, all right, I'm going to test the portal, and his agent or whoever it is can go in front of him and say, here's a piece of paper. We have 15 people that have already reached out. Like, that's how this works, and it's terrifying for schools like K-State or smaller schools like Wichita State or whatever.
Has to do the same thing, though. They have to be doing the same thing right now. They've always been pretty good at it, right? They do a good job in those spaces.
They do a good job at not letting it get to the point where you're hearing from the other ones. Like Jace Brown last year, people said he was going into the portal at like week 8, and then he finished the season out and then stayed. It's like, that's what K-State was like, listen, hold on. Yeah. Come back. Let's figure this out.
K-State, relatively speaking, has done a good job with the portal. Klieman talked after the game. It was very real reporters, because I think his give a crap is broken and busted.
It was very much a job, like an exit interview for the media. Yeah.
So I think, and he was honest about it. He was like, guys, nothing's going to change while some teams have the resources they have and we don't. Like, that's he is of the belief that the haves get richer and the have nots do not. I don't personally agree with that completely. I think college football is a little more even now because of the ability for the have nots to throw something together for a special year, a la Texas Tech, a la TCU a few years ago. Like, it's happening. Is Indiana a have? I don't think so. So I don't buy that. I'm just as a personal aside, but that's how the coaches feel right now. So we'll see what they can do in the offseason, but I don't want any excuses. Like, just put that out there right now. Like, excuses aren't going to work for me. I'm not going to sit here and watch Indiana not lose any games for 2 years, and you tell me that you have to have XYZ to be successful, because that ain't Indiana. It's just not. So get the right players and get the right coaches. KU has not been, to me, my opinion, particularly good with the roster, because I don't know what they're going to do, TJ. Like, I don't know how this gets better for KU next year. I'm far more worried about the Jayhawks than the Wildcats. I'll just put it that way.
It's a complete other conversation that can be had as well. And it's because of they lost, but it's kind of what it was said in the postgame press conference there as well. Like, Leipold said, he's like, we have expectations at KU now, and we didn't meet them again. And that is my fault. I didn't coach this team good enough to meet the expectation. And like, it that's my biggest question from that. True. Is the fact of, what are the expectations at KU?
Well, the KU expectations need to be to go to a bowl game every year.
They are. They went below. Don't get me wrong. They went below the expectations. But what is reasonable? Like, what do they want to do? Like, what would KU fans be happy with?
Look, Lance Leipold now in 5 years has had one winning season. Okay. Like, I get it. I'm not saying this is a Leipold issue completely. It's not. But like, Leipold took this program from the ashes right, to get to two straight bowl games, and now they've missed two straight, and they've only been above 500 one time in 5 years. So yes, he has carried them out of this, but now what should the expectation be moving forward? They're building a brand new stadium. They're spending a lot. It should be to at minimum make a bowl game every year.
Yeah.
So that's the expectation. That situation may be a little tenuous next year. If we're sitting in this same position next year with KU, it'll be real uncomfortable. The discomfort some people think might be there or should be there with K-State, that's probably more realistic for KU.
I think the it's such a weird conversation to have, because like looking at that resume for Lance Leipold, like from what we know now, it looks like, man, they only had one winning season in the last 5 years.
They should build a statue for him at the same time.
Do you feel like they should be a lot better than that? But then you look back at where it was in 2020, and it's like, holy cow, they won five games back-to-back years? Like,
and that's okay. Like, that's all fine. Like, that it's all true, right? You could build a statue for Leipold for bringing the program out of the ashes, but they're out now, and they have to win games. And so it's like, okay, What is the next step for them? And I think the problem for me is like, what's going to be on this roster? I know they feel good about like their high school class, but how much does that even matter anymore?
It's going to have to be what they did this year. This year was a portal class, and those guys are graduating. They're going to have to go do it again.
Lee, I'm worried.
I cannot imagine being a college football coach. Like, College basketball sounds pretty fun because you only really have to portal hard for a couple weeks.
Need four or five guys, right?
Yeah. You need Lance Leipold has to go get 50 players in the next couple of weeks, basically.
I tell people that all the time. College football, like, I don't know why anybody would ever choose that over pro. Like, ever. I don't know why. But Godspeed, gentlemen. Let's go get it done this offseason, Klieman and Leipold. I know Klieman's not technically to the offseason yet, but this is the portaling season. Get it done. We're all pulling for you. Good luck.
We've gone full tilt from 2 years ago talking about they're both in a bowl game. Like, we've got two dark horse Big 12 contenders in the state of Kansas. This is going to be awesome. And now it's like, holy cow, what are they going to do for the next couple of weeks? Like, full tilt.
Full tilt. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what to tell you. We are joined now by Shocker head men's basketball coach Paul Mills. Coach, welcome back from the Bahamas. How are you this morning?
Well, it is good to be back in cold Kansas rather than sunny Bahamas after an 0-3 trip there.
Yeah, I bet Winter Wonderland looked like a winter vacation to get out of there, come back to Kansas, I imagine. Get back in the roundhouse and start practicing, I imagine, is what you're really looking forward to.
Yeah, I was obviously disappointed in the outcomes of those games, but you get back and you're like, man, you're just so anxious to get to work. So Wichita was a welcome sight, despite I'm in the super minority of people who would probably this time of year choose the Wichita over the Bahamas.
Yeah, you're in the minority on that weather for sure. Coach, when you we can get to the games individually in a little bit. I think the question that would jump to my mind first is, how's the response been from the players to three tough losses, two of them very tough that you feel like you could have won for sure, but are they responding appropriately to that, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think six halves of basketball, one of them was just an awful half, and they responded. I thought we did a good job there in the second half against Colorado State. You're down 21, you turn around and turn it into a five-point game. And so the fight's what it needs to be. We didn't play great in any of them. It's really rare, the St. Mary's, we lose the rebound margin and the turnover margin, but those are two areas of the game that we have to win. And we didn't win the turnover margin there against, Western Kentucky. And, you had a 9-point lead and they go to, what's commonly referenced as a junk defense. and played some zone. We were able to get there, go to some junk. So all of the things that systematically you haven't seen that your players are kind of in the first time, it's good. I hate to say it, but it really is beneficial that you kind of get exposed to this stuff in November rather than sometime in February.
Yeah, Coach, talking about the first two games at least, you know, something that stuck out to me that you talked about in the post-game press conference down in the Bahamas that Taylor asked you about is the fact that, you know, you at that point you had lost to Boise State, St. Mary's, and Colorado State, and then all three of those games, it was kind of the comeback effort right till the very end, and then you just didn't quite get there. You know, there's two sides to think about it, is the fact that, you know, we went out, we battled against a good team, and the other part of it that you kind of talked about is that this is getting old and we need to stop doing this. You know, are those frustrating for you?
Yeah, I think you have a little bit of timidity, just because, I mean, this is a new group. Nobody that we played, that we play, was on this team a year ago. And it wasn't like, you know, I think a lot of teams in college basketball are new. And so there's some timidity there where there needs to be more aggression. And I think we saw that in the second half of Colorado State. Like, I just thought we were very aggressive. We were relentless on the glass. I thought our pressure defensively picked up. And you know, we saw that carryover. There was some carryover against Western Kentucky. I thought schematically just the problems that they presented and how we approached it, how we attacked it, that was different. But I do think that the aggression after that first half of Colorado State, but yeah, you don't want to continue the same story. Like, listen, they'll fight back, but when they start fighting is after they get punched. Yep. Like we need to be way more aggressive from the jump.
So then being like you talk about this all the time and I love it. You're not ever staying the same this time of year. You're getting better. You're getting worse. I think,
yeah.
You know, in the rearview mirror, if we put that there, getting better looks pretty good, I think, this year in the American. Like, you know, the outcomes weren't where you want them, but I see a team that feels like they're going to be able to compete in this league at the highest level.
Yeah, I mean, I do too, and nothing really takes away from that after the trip to the Bahamas. You know, I think what you have to get, everybody's heard Nick Saban 101, that if you start thinking about the outcome, you are doing yourself a disservice. Like, you have to think about the steps involved and be involved in the moment. You know, what Coach Saban would often reference as the process. And I just think you have to have players that are super committed to the moment. And so that means finding a way to have a good practice today. And I don't know that we can just think about outcomes. We have to think about the steps that are needed in order to get the outcomes. But the outcomes are byproducts of doing things the right way. And I think, you know, again, I don't know that I think everybody understands this, right? That you have to go through some trials and you have to remain steadfast in those trials. And there has to be an hunger to improve from those situations that are disappointing. And we went back, we were practicing last night. I think our guys were actually anxious to practice and thought we could address some of those issues and obviously feel good about just who we are and what we're doing.
Yeah, so it's kind of like drinking from a fire hose with the amount of information that you learn in 3 days about this team. When you get back-to-back-to-back games like that, that's a lot of film to watch. But is there a common theme? Is there one thing that you really didn't like that you saw in the Bahamas that you want to clean up as you go into this next week?
Well, I would tell you that the biggest thing, you know, one, the big takeaway is we are legit on the glass, right? I mean, you go look at it. We're legit on the glass. My biggest takeaway is, let me go back. We're legit offensively on the glass. We are not legit defensively on the glass. And that is the big takeaway. Like we have to find a way when you lose 3-2 possession games, like our rebounding rate is right around that 70%. I think it's exactly 70% for the year, but it's hovered right around. We've got to find a way to get 2 and 3 more possessions via defensive rebounding. And some of that is with the team, I just, when you see these perimeter shots, these shots outside the three, we are way too committed to getting closer to the rim rather than protecting the paint, right? Long shots equal longer rebounds. And we're not establishing an extended radius that we need to establish to get those two and three possessions. So as much as we drill it, as much as we talk about it, that's one of those habits that we have to create now that we're moving into December.
Coach, moving into December, what we have coming up next here, Mount Marty, that'll be tomorrow night. It'll be good to get home. And then I don't know Northern Iowa yet, and I don't know if you've had a chance to study them at all yet, but what does this week look like with another true road game looming?
Yeah, one, playing Mount Marty tomorrow. Marty Gross is a longtime assistant. He and I worked here at Wichita State with Coach Marshall. He and I were together at Rice, and so he'll have a team really prepared in order to play. But it comes at a good time for us simply because we need to address some issues that stylistically that other teams challenge us with. So we need to organically be able to get the ball in the post, get the ball to Kenyon. And then I just don't know enough about Northern Iowa. I think they have one loss. And, you know, being a former Missouri Valley foe, I think people in Wichita understand how tough an environment that is to go on the road to play at Northern Iowa. So we're looking forward to that one Saturday night at 7 as well.
There you go. Coach, did you happen to say that the head coach of Mount Marty's name is Marty?
He's actually the assistant head coach. Mount Marty has their own Marty over there on the bench.
There you go. You've talked about, you know, you guys have had, friends the past couple of years come into play and everything like that. You've talked about this because there's no net impact is a big reason to get these games on schedule. You're a proponent of these kind of games.
Yeah, one, you have budget issues,
the schedule.
Yeah, I don't know if you know what it costs to bring a team to Coke Arena, but it's not cheap. Yeah. We're not football to where you pay $800,000 to $1.2 million to the opposition, but it's a pretty costly venture. And at the same time, if you've watched us, we've played these games like either right after Christmas, which was last year, kind of make sure guys, hey, do y'all remember basketball after these 5 days y'all been off? This one, hey, after the Bahamas, it's either after an MTE or before an MTE. So I think, regardless of how these events go, I was talking to some people at UConn. They went to Maui last year, went 0-3, and then came back and won that next game by a lot. And I just talked to them about, hey, how did you strategically plan this? And you just know 3 games in 3 days, you're kind of just thinking through availability. Is there going to be fatigue? All of the issues that come into it. And I will tell you, Mount Marty's in South Dakota, and I think they're having a winter storm. And so I actually think they're pretty excited about getting to Wichita.
I bet so. They drive it, the less snow. We've seen those forecasts. I hope to see you guys with the hair on fire and everything. I would imagine these guys are ready to get on the court, get out of your practice.
Trust me, they are sick of that film room right now.
Yeah, it's got to be a little unpleasant. Coach, we appreciate it. Glad you guys made it back safe. It'll be tomorrow night, 6:30 against Mount Marty. Good tip time. You can go to GoShockers.com, look for your tickets there. And, of course, you can hear the game over on KYN. Coach, we appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Here goes Paul Mills, Wichita State head men's basketball coach. I don't know. Like when we look at that turn, the Western Kentucky game was to me like that one's the disappointing one.
Yes, 100%. The other two, he's exactly right. That the fact of it's such a weird week because you think about week. They almost beat St. Mary. Like we were almost talking about playing in a third place game.
And Colorado State narrowly lost. I hope everybody on this show, like I'm an optimist by nature, but we're also trying to be very real about what we're seeing on this show. Like I was so excited as an example for K-State basketball and the way that was looking. And I got to be honest now, I'm like, well, maybe I was off on that. Maybe that was a little premature, the Shockers have been very excited about comparatively to the last couple of years. And I still do feel that way on December 1st. Yeah, I still feel like when it stacks up against the rest of the American and it looks like Memphis is not going to be some juggernaut this year, I still kind of like their chances to be real competitive near the top of the league. I think it'll work, but it'll be really nice to see them get back on the court.
He's exactly right, though, in the thing that he said about the fact, and St. Mary's and Colorado State, and I agree, Washington, Kentucky sucks. You should have won that game. St. Mary's and Colorado State, like, and Boise State, like, you went into a tough
those
place.
Were all potential tournament teams.
And yeah, they're all good teams, and you had them on the ropes in the final seconds of the game.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is that you got punched in the mouth first, and then you took a step back. And, like, well, if they can change the fact of getting off to a hotter start against these good
don't
teams.
Don't get punched,
like,
in the mouth.
You
right?
can beat just, any. You can beat. They've shown you they can probably beat anybody.
They're coming back the way that you want them to. They're responding within games.
The other
the way that
one,
you
one
want
more
them
thing
to.
Here before we get into this. They've dominated the non-conference the past couple of years and then skidded to start conference play.
Right.
Maybe he's right. Maybe this is what you need.
Well, it is like they, it, that. I don't disagree with that. And now come out of a game and don't get punched in the mouth first, because we know you'll come back and try to finish the fight. Like, we've seen that. That's clear. Don't get punched in the mouth first. I think that's the next lesson for this team. And we'll see him this week. Northern Iowa, by the way, almost a mirror image in the KenPom of Wichita State. So that'll be a good test, too. All right, we're coming back. We got another hour of Sports Daily. Josh Briscoe, Chiefs Talk. Don't miss it.
All right, everybody, welcome back into another hour of Sports Daily here on KFH Radio. We've gotten to a lot here as we're reacting on a Monday after we haven't talked to anybody since, you know, Wednesday morning. We've had Thanksgiving weekend, a long weekend for us, and a lot of stuff has happened. If you missed anything in the first hour, we've gotten into some K-State football talk, with the future of Avery Johnson talk, KU football talk, as they aren't going bowling. And we just had Wichita State head men's basketball coach Paul Mills join the show. If you missed any of that, you can go back and find it on the Odyssey app. Go find it in podcast form and catch up on anything that you may have missed. We've got a lot more to get into as we go forward. Most notably, something that we haven't talked about is the Kansas Jayhawks. We haven't talked since they've taken third, in the Players Era Festival out in Las Vegas. Didn't get a chance to play for the championship, as there's no bracket play in the Players Era yet, as it's 18 teams, and it won't be bracket play going forward, which is an entire conversation that we had last week, if you missed any of that. But they take third. They go 3-0 in a week where they don't have Darren Peterson on the court, and that's a really big deal, because we had so many questions about this KU team and what they were going to be without DP out there. So now they prepare for a really big test this coming week. Tomorrow night, even, they get the UConn Huskies in Allen Fieldhouse, a true home game against the Huskies in this one. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Nope, not that one. It's going to be a lot of fun here on Tuesday night as UConn comes in. And then Sunday is a border war in Kansas City. They're going to take on the Mizzou Tigers in the T-Mobile Center for that one. Major test. Major test against UConn, and the fact that you think you'll have Darren Peterson back, and if you do, you're going to finally see what it's supposed to look like. We haven't seen Darren Peterson play in a full game yet. He played majority against North Carolina, but still had to leave late in that one, and they didn't really look the part that they looked last week without Darren Peterson out there. They took third in the Players Era, Jacob. If they can have Darren Peterson back to play against UConn, that, it to me, is the first time that we're going to see, you know, what it's supposed to look like, what the plan was for this team.
And then you got to understand, too, it's his first game back in a very long time. UConn looks good, though. They're KenPom number 7 right now. They look like they're pretty typical UConn. But this is now comes this strange time. So we've made it through that part. Now you get UConn, Mizzou, North Carolina State, and a couple of cupcakes before you get into conference play. So these next 5 games, to me, become pretty critical. And I don't want to put it all on UConn, right? I don't want to put it all on the UConn game of like, all right, now we got to see it. He's back. Now we got to see it. They played at Allen Fieldhouse. It's a game I think they should win, but we still have to see it. We've seen Darren Peterson so little so far this year. He's been great when we've seen him. I'm gonna give it these 5 games. Like, to me, this has all been about conference play. I'd love to see him beat UConn. I'd love to see him beat Missouri. But it's more about kind of the way the holiday tournament went. And they won those games. right? They did a really nice job in the holiday tournament. They went 3-0, and I don't think people expected that to happen, including the win over Tennessee. But now it's like, okay, they're at least healthy. Can Peterson play full minute load for 5 games? That's the first thing I need to see. Like, can he stay out there and be a player on the court for full minutes for 5 games?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so too. I don't know the answer to that question. I think that the biggest thing that makes you feel good is, I think in the North Carolina game, and I don't know, I'm speculating here. I think in the North Carolina game, there was a lot of the mode of, for good reason, just let Darren do what he wants to do and we'll figure the rest of it out around him. I think the fact that they went 3-0 without Darren Peterson, like, they might have a different philosophy for the UConn game. It may just be, you're just going to play shooting guard, we're going to run what we've been doing, and you're just going to make all the shots that you take because you're that good. Like, that's going to help them immensely and not be like, okay, where's Darren Peterson? Get him the ball
in his hand. He's going to be the point guard, don't you think? Like, yeah. He's going to just run the point all the time, which is good. Which is good because now these other guys, who probably Council goes to the two, I would assume. But I'm with you. Like, the only thing that looked like in the three really good games that we watched them play in Vegas was offense, right? Like, immediate offense. And if he can shoot the three, because they have almost none of that, right? If he can add 2 to 3 3-point shots a game and just 18 to 20 points a game, this team's going to be really good.
I'm telling you, I feel so much like I was really, I don't know if concerned was the right word, but I wasn't really drinking the Kool-Aid that like they were going to be fine. They're going to make the tournament. But like, I didn't see this team being a second weekend team whenever we had the struggles with Darren Peterson that we were seeing earlier in the year, simply because if you're a one trick team that has Darren Peterson, like, you're susceptible to getting upset, and that's just the nature of it, what it is. But I think that what we've seen is that they've got five or six that are going to be really good. It's not super deep, but those top seven are a legit team that are going to beat a lot of teams in the Big 12, I think.
With the NBA's number one overall pick and a guy that's got to be flying up draft boards right now in Flory Badunga.
That's a big reason why it's Flory.
Yeah, they're there now. Like, if, and look, I like reading into body language and all that kind of stuff, and watching Peterson on the sidelines, he's engaged, man. I think he wants to get out there pretty bad. It's been an annoying and frustrating hamstring injury that they didn't have a good grasp on at the beginning of the season. Clearly, it was being called cramps, whatever. They have been as careful with it as you can be, in hopes that he can just come back full go right now. And hopefully that's the case. And if it is, I think this team's going to be a blast to watch. Yep. They might be frustrating at times. They're very young. I think they'll have their moments of frustration, but man, they're going to be fun.
Yeah, they are. And that UConn game tomorrow night, like, if he plays, which I hope we get like official word before, like, that will be like one of the best non-conference games of the season.
Yes, I agree. It'll be...
Did you see, by the way, I'll bring this up while we're talking about that. Did you see that the players era, the TNT guy, said something along the lines of, in that Michigan, who'd they play in the championship? Michigan Gonzaga, of the players era. He said that this might be the best non-conference basketball game of all time. And somebody said, the Michigan Gonzaga.
Oh, no.
And he's like, you know, number one and number two have played before. Like, what's so big of a deal like this?
No, I don't think so. I watched Buddy Hield come into Lawrence and play one that was pretty fantastic.
That was a conference game.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Best non-conference game.
I don't know. I mean,
but that's not true. KU played UConn like 2 years ago and they were both top 10. Like,
right. It's fine. I mean, they're hyping up their tournament. I appreciate the effort. Yeah. It might be the best collection of non-conference games ever. I'll give it that. But I'm looking forward to it. Of course, K-State is in action tonight, hosting Bowling Green. Tune in, 97.5, 1240 KFH. TJ, if I don't lose this cold, I mean, I'm going on like
2 weeks. It has been like 3 weeks, yes.
Ever since COVID happened, is it long cough? Like, whatever it is, like, anytime I have anything respiratory, it feels like it lasts a month. I have a flipping cold. And it is just not going away. It's as frustrating to me, ladies and gentlemen, as to you.
It's just the little baby coughs.
It's the little baby coughs.
They're the worst.
And you just feel like a wimp.
It's
when I take a deep breath, which we're very trained to do in broadcasting. That's when it gets me. So it's like everything's staccato. Like I have to like breathe easy to try to make it through without. It's flipping annoying. Anyway, that won't be a problem for Wyatt Thompson tonight. He'll have the call 6 o'clock. KFHradio.com also, by the way, or the free Odyssey app. We've still got more coming for you. Joshua Briscoe is going to join us in this hour. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Groups gather for holiday fun. Everyone's in town. Make WBC your unofficial high school or college alumni meetup spot. More than 15 beers, Christmas cocktail list, pizzas everyone will love, making Wichita Brewing Company the place where groups gather for the holiday season. A little late into this segment, I'm upstairs. It's so funny now with kids. It is flipping cold outside, right? What are we at? 24 degrees right now.
Not a single coat was worn, were they?
I'm up there with 8 year olds having a heated discussion about, I don't care that you don't think you need the coat. Put the damn coat on. Like, we're wearing a coat today. It's 24 degrees. Your parents get judged when you show up to school without warm coats when it's 20. We get stern emails all the time. Reminder, parents, as the temperature drops, make sure your kids are. I'm like, put the coat on. Take it off when you get to school. I don't care. Put it on. Like, that's the fight that I get to have every morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry. My wife still has the fight with me. TJ, put your coat on. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that I work outdoors. I work in an office. I don't need a coat in an office. But I lose that battle every time.
Take the coat off when you get to the office. Put the coat on. I'm the opposite. I've got – it is gloves season for me. It was
You wear the coat starting in September.
I don't like being cold. I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. It's annoying. It's terrible. It's horrible. And I don't want it to be 24 degrees outside. And it's going to be now for like 3 months. And I'm not happy about it. All right. We'll come back. At least it is. It's basketball weather is what it is. This time, this weather reminds me of basketball season. We're going to come back and talk a little football, though. Joshua Briscoe joins us from the Chiefs Radio Network. What do we make of this messy playoff picture? We got to go back to this. Cowboys lost. We haven't talked about that at all since we've been on the air last. It's all coming for you here on Sports Day.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, we welcome you back in here, Joshua Briscoe. You know, we've had a little time to digest Thanksgiving. We've had a little time to digest the Cowboys' loss, Josh. But it was all the things we feared. Dallas is playing great right now. The only thing that sticks in my craw, maybe a little bit, because I think they can afford that loss but no more, is that it came at Arrowhead, right? Like, that's... Or did it come in Dallas?
Dallas. What are you talking about? Yeah. Listen, this season has left us all completely disoriented.
Yeah,
I understand.
I'm off there. But like, what is my bad there? What is the takeaway before we look forward? What is the takeaway?
I think the first takeaway is that it does imply a little bit of looking forward, of going, well, okay, we're looking down the road. I know we're not doing that yet. But the takeaway is, like, do you think that this is a team capable of rattling off five in a row? Because that's where we're at now. Like, even to be able to look back and to say, here's what went wrong, is this a football team that you believe is going to be able to strain to the finish line and finish this season perfectly the way that they would need to do to make sure they get themselves a spot? The actual ins and outs of that game, it does feel like a month ago now, because we got to enjoy an NFL weekend where everybody lost. Like, the Thursday and Friday schedules alone, you had perennial Super Bowl contenders dropping. I'm now getting into, like, the entire slate again, I guess, but it's just another reminder that right now, the three seed is a Jacksonville Jaguars team that I didn't believe in as they were actively beating the Chiefs earlier this season. So it's a frustrating place to find yourself. Specific to Chiefs-Cowboys, there are lots of individual things I guess we can get into, but I can't help but zoom out here on Monday and look around at it. And an NFL that seems like it does have room for an alpha team to take over, specifically in the AFC, but no one has done that yet. The Rams looked like they might be that team in the NFC, and then they lose to the Panthers. That's just the league right now, and unfortunately, the Chiefs are smack dab in the middle of that mess.
Josh, I think that means we have to take this. The Panthers is the new alpha. I'm going to bet them to win the Super Bowl. It's Bryce Young season. Talking about the Thanksgiving game. I mean, it was double-digit penalties again. The defense just really couldn't get off the field in big spots, it felt like. Like, there was a multitude of things, and like, the entire time you watch that game, you're just like, it just doesn't look good. Like, this doesn't feel right. Like, yeah. I don't know what's going on.
It really does. It does hit on all of the things that we've talked about this season, where this game against the Cowboys starts in the exact inverse way of the Colts game, which was a good thing. My goodness, the Chiefs got a quick turnover, a quick takeaway, and then scored just like that. That's something they had to overcome the week prior, and now, hey, we're on our front feet. that obviously doesn't last very long at all. The defense in this game, like you said, just couldn't get off the field, specifically on third down. When it was third and seven or longer, Dak Prescott went 6 for 6 for 94 yards and a touchdown, 5 first downs on 6 of those attempts. I don't think they had one after that stat was updated. They have had issues either blowing fourth quarter leads or failing to take opportunities to take the lead late in these games. Again, defensively, it's the third down problems. It's no consistent pass rush. It's a bad day for Trent McDuffie, which is, that's a new thing. That's weird and rare. CeeDee Lamb is an incredible receiver, so it makes sense that sometimes you lose that battle. But like, of all of the things that do feel very, very familiar, the offense disappearing for two quarters, totally failing on an opportunity to double dip around the half, something they seem to have almost every game, because they win the toss, they defer, and then they just so rarely take advantage of that. That's the kind of whole team issue, I think, is that they had plenty of opportunities against Dallas. They took advantage of very, very few of them on offense or defense. Strangely, might have been the best special teams game of the year.
I like it now that I'm straightforward here. Houston and the Chargers are coming at Arrowhead. They're coming over the next 2 weeks. They have to win every game. The two road games are Tennessee-Vegas. So. Yep. I hate coming on here every week and saying, Chiefs fans, you still have a pretty good chance. Like, after the Cowboys game, I'm sure it was the same for you. Everyone's like, the Chiefs are done, right? And I'm like, actually, they're kind of not. You know, that game meant more for Dallas than it meant for Kansas City. Dallas needs more help. We can still see Kansas City's path, sort of. It's like, it's still there. It is reliant, though, on them winning 5 straight games. The three tough ones come at home. It's there.
The recipe is there. The season right now is not over. Like, I'm in a couple hours here, I'm gonna start my podcast for the week, and I know the title of today's episode is something like the Chiefs season isn't over, but it had better start soon. Like, that's what it feels like now, is that so many times in these recent years we've been spoiled to correctly say, they'll figure it out. It's the Chiefs. Oh, you want to pick against the Chiefs in week 4 because you didn't like something on their offensive line? Good luck, bud. I'll see you in the Super Bowl. Obviously, right now, there is no further margin for error for that. But I really do think, and yes, they're going to need some help as things wiggle around. If you told me right now the Chiefs went out from here, I think that would be good enough to be a playoff team. And it's a conference that does not, if you told me that the Chiefs lost to the Broncos on Thanksgiving, on Christmas, but they got some help somewhere else and they made, and you said, okay, now the Chiefs are going to Denver in the first round of the playoffs as the 2-7 matchup, I'd probably pick the Chiefs in that game. Cause I can't help but think, well, yeah, once the games really, really matter. But that's the thing that's been tested over these last several weeks. Part of me absolutely still has that spark of the, like, Chiefs mysticism of, well, yeah, again, they're gonna figure this out and you're gonna feel stupid for picking against them. But then I also look back at a team that is 1-3 against 4 probable playoff teams, including the Cowboys in that group. I don't know if that's a 4-game stretch that it fills me with confidence. And I really, again, it is not over. The vibes after the Cowboys game seemed really, really rough. And so maybe the extra little mini buy, the little holiday weekend, maybe that was enough to kind of get the blood pumping again. Cause you're right. They've had their issues on the road. They've been better at home. The hard matchups are at Arrowhead, and the ones they should walk through are the road games that I still do believe that any, I think Gardner Minshew is probably taking care of the Titans or Raiders in those games. So I really do think the path is there. The path has been there for so much of this season, and they just haven't walked down it often enough.
So the thing that we've talked about a lot, the hypothetical that we've asked every week, basically, is the panic meter. And, you know, I think on this show, we've probably said like a 2 at a point, a 4 at a point, like a 6, a 7, something like that. Like, I feel like it has to be at least like a 9.5 right now because of what comes up next in this Houston game. Because in my mind, and I can't wrap my head around the math of all this stuff, but if they lose to the Texans, like, it's over. It's pretty much over if you lose this week.
Yeah, there's like, right? Percentage chances in the teens or something where it's like, well, you know, they're not mathematically eliminated, which obviously that's not going to happen.
It would take the Colts losing out at that point or something like that.
Yeah, there's all sorts of weirdness. So I think for all intents and purposes, again, it's another chance to say, hey, maybe even like we need to know what the situations are. They need to know all the math and everything. If you're watching or listening to us this morning, here's what I would advise. Don't worry about the playoff odds until they beat the Texans, because right now Chiefs Texans is basically a playoff game. Chiefs Colts was kind of a playoff game, and then Chiefs Cowboys was like a game you really thought you'd just go ahead and go take.
It's a playoff game for Dallas.
Right. In a game that, you know, you'd love the chance to have a little bit of breathing room if you're the Chiefs. But like, really, I do think that's where it comes down to, is if they beat the Texans without Josh Simmons, maybe with a banged up Juwan Taylor. I think Matt Verderam had a little update on Taylor saying it was like he might be back. Simmons, obviously, it looks like it's a longer return timeline. I haven't seen anything new on him this morning. We'll hear from the Chiefs this week and figure that out, I'm sure. But it's like, congratulations. Now you have this terribly banged up offensive line dealing with a demonic pass rush from the Houston Texans that's just been consuming offensive lines this year. So if you tell me the Chiefs beat the Texans, I might believe in them more than their playoff odds, because they'll go, oh, wow, okay. They, you know what? They did stand up shorthanded against another playoff contender here, and they won that game in prime time at home to keep the season alive. My arrow's moving up. If they lose to the Texans, even if there's a 12% chance they math their way into the playoffs, now we're talking about losing 4 out of 5 to a bunch of playoff teams in this section of the season. You just kind of go, well, you know, sometimes it's not your year. I'm not there yet. I really do think a win over Houston leaves the entire rest of the way open. It's going to be stressful, but it would be a lot more fun than looking at the rest of the season as just going through the motions.
If they lose to Houston, it's the Kansas City Royals exercise at that point. If the Tigers lose out, we have a chance at the division still.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Houston then, because Houston is very different than Dallas. Houston's very different than really anybody that they've played. I couldn't even tell you honestly what Houston does well offensively. I don't even know. And I've watched them a lot. Like, they're not good on offense really, but man, they're great on defense. And this is going to be like, how stubborn is Andy Reid at Arrowhead? Because I'm not sure you can put Mahomes with potentially 3 of his starting offensive linemen out there throwing the ball 50 times. I don't know that that's going to work. So are we looking at another Kareem Hunt 30 carry, you know, 100-yard? Like, it feels like that's kind of what it's going to take in a great defensive performance from them.
Yeah, I think the much improved defensive performance is non-negotiable. I think you just have to have that, because you do understand that your offense is playing a little bit with one hand behind its back. I was more excited about the Kareem Hunt, just turn him and burn him plan, when he had his definite best run blockers in front of him. Like, that's the other challenge of this. Jalen Moore is a fine run blocker, but Josh Simmons is a weapon. Trey Smith to Mike Caliendo, with nothing but respect for the job Caliendo's done to just kind of hold that gap over now more than a season, going back to last year in the Super Bowl and the playoff run and everything. Mike Caliendo's not moving guys like Trey Smith. If it's Wanya Morris instead of Juwan Taylor, because you're already down Simmons on the other side, that's another difficult one. So I still think that running the ball probably keeps Patrick Mahomes alive more successfully. I mean, you really pick your spots in the passing game when you are able to hold off that pass rush. I don't know that the Chiefs will actually play that way, but I do think you have to have that in mind. It's just, it's all shorthanded right now. The only thing that the Texans do well offensively is Nico Collins. Like, that's the thing. Like, they Nico Collins well, because they have him and he's awesome. But that's something where if you do have a group that's not CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, Steve Spagnuolo is always very good at getting that number one option out of the way. The problem is that the Cowboys had 2 number one options. They got more than one option out of the way for the Colts. They got Jonathan Taylor out of there and just sped up Daniel Jones. So Tyler Warren and all those receivers didn't bubble up to the surface. So you have to have a day like that defensively. You have to take Collins away from what the Texans want to do and speed up CJ Stroud, who I think we all bought into, at least I certainly bought into pretty hard, pretty early in his NFL career. And I still think he's a very good quarterback, but he hasn't taken that kind of next transformation that just makes him a guy that you have to completely fine tune your defense around, that you're afraid to face off with going down the stretch. So, I mean, the whole division has been so strange this year. And obviously he missed a bunch of time, but they're better with Stroud than with Davis Mills. No question. I need the Chiefs defense to make an offense that doesn't have a calling card look like an offense without a calling card. And then you've got to find a way to put up 24 points or something with an offense that's going to be shorthanded and a Texans defense that's going to be bloodthirsty.
So the question that a lot of people keep asking is the fact that, what do you want to say, 7 weeks ago, we were calling the Chiefs the best team in football, probably. And it's like, what? I don't even want to get into what happened. Like, is that team still a thing? Like, can they do that again? Like, the way they looked against the Lions, we'll pull that game. Like, that was a game you walk into there, and like, it's like, hell, put us against anybody. The Chiefs will beat anybody in the world. And now it's you're pulling teeth trying to score against a Cowboys team and a Texans team.
Yeah, it's a really good question. Is that team still in there? I obviously, yeah, I mean, it's made up of almost all the same pieces, and you think about the idea that this offense was going to have another boost when Rashee Rice got into the mix, and I don't think he's, like, in any way whatsoever the problem, in any way whatsoever to blame that he's getting snaps that were going to Juju Smith-Schuster, right? I think that's just a, sort of a coincidence. But I do think that there's a little bit of something. I don't know if you can say it's like schematic that the rest of the league has figured out from that point on. I don't really think that's true. I think that was a very banged up Lions unit, and the Chiefs putting together just a very, very high percentage game for themselves while the Lions were licking their wounds. And a lot of these teams we look back on now, I mean, really, every single one of these teams you can look back on now and see them differently than you did when the game actually happened, because every team has changed over the course of this season, because there is no dominant sure thing. Well, you lost to this team in week 3, that's fine because they're still good in week 12. The Raiders started their season by beating the Patriots. The Chicago Bears are at the top of the NFC. Like, nothing makes sense. All that to say, I do still believe that there is that version of the Chiefs in there, and maybe I'm just as encouraged by the memory of how they should have beaten the Jags, how close they were to beating the Bills, how close they were to beating the Broncos and Cowboys. It's both encouraging and frustrating. If this was a 162-game season, you'd still be betting on the Chiefs the rest of the way. At least I would. But now you just realize that the margin for error is so fine. Week 1 was derailed when Xavier Worthy got hurt. And week 2 was turned around when Travis Kelce turned a touchdown into an interception. It's just these little tiny dominoes. You knock them over, and all of a sudden you're 6-6 the week after Thanksgiving, wondering if your playoff hopes are on life support or not. It's really been a truly bizarre season that I think is a little bit of bad luck and a huge dose of football, as my friend Nate Taylor says, being a silly sport where the ball isn't round. And sometimes those things happen. It's deeply frustrating. The Chiefs could have made life easier on themselves at several of these turns, but for when you've got 20 teams that are all very, very, very close, sometimes a couple of weird bounces sends you to the bottom of that pack.
And I don't even know that it's fair to say it was pulling teeth to run an offense against Dallas. They scored 4 touchdowns, which has been a problem for them. But then the defense lets them down, and they give up 31 points, which has not been a thing for us to expect in a long, long time. So it is. It's just like it's always something, right? It's right. Always whatever it is. And now, to me, it's that, you know, potentially 60% of your offensive line is down, and that's the thing where it's a little harder for me to be the optimist. That's going to be tough to overcome with the games they have on the schedule left.
Yeah, it's very tough, and even like to the Cowboys game. They scored 4 touchdowns, but one of them was a gift from the defense, and then they went totally silent for the second and third quarter. And you go, man, it's just it is opportunistic. It is when are you making these plays and having these moments? Because on the other hand, the Chiefs' defense was good enough against the Broncos, and the offense just couldn't cash their side of that ticket. So, it is. A real reminder of the truth of complementary football and just being able to have your good games at the same time and stacking up your game plans that you can lean on in the same weeks, because a good defensive effort one week and a better offensive effort the next week, and you lose both of those games looking around thinking, wait a second, we've played some of the best football you've seen in glimpses, but for so much of this Chiefs season, it hasn't really been when it's mattered the most, when it's been most needed. Again, the third down stops or the red zone conversions when you're trailing, and that has been a really, really jarring, unfortunate way to spend so much of this year.
Joshua Briscoe, Chiefs Radio Network pre- and post-game host, everything else and only weird games on the KC Sports Network, got a podcast coming. At JB Briscoe, when you start that podcast, Josh, remember the Cowboys have played at home on Thanksgiving since forever, the beginning of time.
Listen, the turkey hits us all in different ways. I don't care that it's Monday. I've still got a slice of pie digesting somewhere. We shouldn't be held accountable for anything we say before 9 a.m.
We finished our pumpkin pie last night. A little disappointed.
Good work.
Follow him. Find it. Josh will listen in on Sunday night. Looking forward to it.
Appreciate it, fellas.
There goes Joshua Briscoe ahead of Chiefs Texans Sunday Night Football. They feel like playoff games, except saying it was a playoff game against Dallas was untrue. The Chiefs have their home road splits are staggering. But something that's been a little strange to me is that the most like glaring difference has been how much better the defense has been at home than it has been on the road. And so you look at they're 13 points better at home per game than they are in points allowed. And I'm like, okay, well, does that have to do with who they're playing home and road? And the reason any of this is even front of mind for me is because what we talked about there for just a second, the schedule as far as where they play these games the rest of the way is advantageous, right? Texans, Chargers, Broncos are the home games, and then it's Titans, Raiders on the road. So from that perspective, as people keep asking, are the Chiefs done? And it's like, well, no, technically they're not, and here's why. That's one of them that stands out. They've just flat been a better team at home, and it hasn't all been because they've played almost all the games they've played this year, period, have been tough games, right? Their schedule is non-relenting. But they beat the Ravens at home. They've beaten the Lions at home. They've beaten the Colts at home. So it's not just that they've played bad teams at home, and some of their road losses, you know, Buffalo, Denver, Jacksonville, they've just played tough games up and down the schedule. So as you look at it, home and road splits here, that is something I think that we got to pay a little bit of attention to.
I mean, I think that in the same breath of that is that if they get into the playoffs, they're going to be on the road the entire time.
100%. I've thought about that too. Yeah, like we talk about this and it's like, okay, they get there. And then they got to go on the road where they haven't been very good at all.
I know. At what point, the conversation right now, and I think that you'd agree with me, the conversation is if they can make the playoffs. And I think that the other conversation to this is the fact of like,
we'll have that conversation.
Who even knows what the playoffs are going to look like? What has this team shown you that can tell you they could go on the road to Jacksonville and beat them? They lost that game. Like that's what it would be, something like that. And so like it's ridiculous where we're at right now with this, but I don't know. I mean, you're right down the stretch that they have those two road games that are soft, but like, I don't know if it's the Arrowhead voodoo magic that makes them that much better at home, but we've also seen them lose home game. Like we saw them lose that Eagles game in week two, yeah. But that wasn't the same team, and you can make the argument about that. But like
they didn't have Rice, they didn't have Worthy, right? Like they had all the injuries.
I haven't even seen. Are they favored against the Texans?
Oh, I'm sure that they are. I saw that I was looking at the over under, which is by the way 1.5. How about that? Where is it?
3.5. Favored by 3.5.
Yeah, of course they're, because they're at home. Are you betting the Texans?
I probably would. They won four straight games. They look awesome.
They don't look awesome, but they look awesome on defense.
Their defense looks awesome. That's good enough.
Yes, it is. It's good enough. That's right. And they're one of those kind of teams. Like I like Houston a lot more than I like Jacksonville. Yep.
Houston was a weird team because at the beginning of the season, you were like, do they suck? Like I have no idea. The Texans don't look good at all.
They didn't suck then, just like I don't think they're great now. Like they haven't changed all that much. They're just winning the games now.
They haven't been what the Texans have been, because we're used to the Texans the past 2 years being a playoff team and a team that could, like, they were kind of like the next in line to the Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, Bengals, if you want to throw them in there. Like they were the next in line. And the early parts of the season, you were like, they don't look like that at all. Like they don't look like they could even be they might not be a playoff team. Like, but and they're, now with their comeback, they've won four consecutive games. And they've looked good in them. Like they won those games with Davis Mills. That's how good the defense has looked in those games. Like that's terrifying coming into Arrowhead for this Chiefs team that has skidded for a month.
Yeah, yesterday was the best they've looked on offense in a long time. They're starting to unlock a little bit in their passing game, and that's really the difference I think between them now and early in the season. Is they're looking like a competent passing game. They still can't run the ball. I mean, they're not very effective. They try, right? They commit to it, but they're not very good at it. But their defense is so disruptive. And that's not new to the NFL, by the way. Like mega disruptive defenses are such a factor in winning games in this league. Always have been. And that's what they do better than anything. and 60% of the Chiefs offensive line may be out for this game.
Yeah.
60%.
We haven't even talked about that hardly except for the last segment.
Simmons is done. I've
been in such panic mode about the playoffs. I forgot that Josh Simmons, after everything that we've gone through, just might not play the rest of the season now.
It's not a nothing. Like, it's a big damn deal. And back to that home road thing with it. Like, yeah, it's the Titans and the Raiders. Fine. The Raiders are going to get to potentially unleash Max Crosby on a bad offensive line. Like, there's nothing that's going to come easy in any of these games. And throw it all out the window, because they're going to be favored in all of them. They'll be favored in every game they stay. That hasn't changed. They just... Give me a percentage chance the Chiefs go 5-0 to finish the year.
I don't know, like 55. I'd say it's slightly over 500. 50,
maybe slightly under 500. I was going to put it at 40, but just because, like, you're counting on that stretch without them making the mistakes and doing the things that they've literally done.
Let me change my answer. The Chiefs going 5-0 is probably at 55%. This Chiefs team that we've seen for 3 weeks is probably below 50. It's probably more like 35, 40.
Right? Yeah.
If they play like they played against Dallas, they won't beat the Texans. They won't beat the Broncos. I don't care if it's home. They can't do that. Yeah.
Defensively. They had 10. I actually think they had an okay. Maybe I think they had a better offensive game than you do.
I mean, they had 10 penalties. Like, and I guess they might have been defensive penalties, but like, they had 10 penalties in the game, which has been like 5 times this year, probably. They've had double-digit penalties. I don't know what the stat is, but like, it feels like that at least.
You count on the Chiefs winning games in which they score 28 points. Yes, period.
Because they don't make mistakes, and the Chiefs make mistakes this year.
But they haven't been, and this is what, and I've got to look further into this. This is what's like making my head spin right now. They haven't been nearly as good defensively on the road this year. Remember, they gave up 31 to Jacksonville. That was on the road, right? They gave up 27 to the Chargers in the opener, 28 to the Bills on the, like, they have not been nearly as good defensively on the road.
My brain goes to the fact that we didn't really think we thought the defense probably took a step back. Would you agree?
I thought they were going to take a step back. Yes. And then all of a sudden you looked up and you're like, oh man, that defense looks pretty good.
I agree. I think that we all thought they were going to take a step back. I think that the stats that you're telling me just tell me the fact that the home field advantage is a major factor. And it has been at Arrowhead. Like, it's the loudest stadium in the world.
Right.
Like,
but I've been thinking
it may
of
be
it
that.
As it,
this the,
advantage
the Chiefs
for the
defense.
Offense.
Yes, the Chiefs. I don't know about that. The Chiefs defense, like, what we thought they were going to be may just be what we've seen them play like on the road. And I think that the home field advantage just helps them immensely at home. And that's why they look better at home. That's exactly what that stat tells me in my mind.
Yeah. And Rick says that, of course, some of the points come up to you. And I know that. And I have not gone through and looked at, like, how much, like, what were the ways in which these other teams scored all the points? But I don't think that overall arching, like, if you really go back and think about it and think about, like, Jacksonville or think about that Dallas game, like, it was constantly that they couldn't get off the field or that they made the, you know, the penalty or the mistake or whatever it was. And now, especially, like, with the injuries that the offense now again has, if the defense isn't good to really good the rest of the way, it ain't happening. Like, that has to be a part of this. If it's going to happen, is the defense is going to have to be really good.
It felt like earlier
there for them. Now they've got to be pissed after the Dallas game.
Yeah, I would be too. I think the thing was earlier in the year, it was kind of the fact of like, it was probably just like us thinking about what the defense was, because we didn't know anything about the defense in like weeks 1 through 5. Because we were like, yeah, they're probably just going to be worse. It was the fact of, can the Chiefs go outscore people? And they did. Like, their offense was incredible for that like 4 week span where they're the best team in football. And that was because their offense was great. And they got Rashee Rice back. And it's like, wow, they might score 30 plus every game. And we haven't seen them do that in so long. And then now we're back to the fact of like, okay, well, the Chiefs are going to have to find ways to win by scoring 20 points. And I don't know if the defense can withstand that. Like, that's what's so scary about where they're at right now.
And we love that 3-game stretch, right? We love it. it was against two of the games were the Raiders and the Commanders. The defense in those two games combined gave up 7 points. So everything may be skewed because it was the one point of relief in the schedule in which the Chiefs looked really good. Like, it was the only time in this schedule that they've had a soft portion of the schedule. They do get a soft portion to end this season. Denver's mixed in there, but who knows? Denver may be on cloud nine in coasting mode by Christmas. I'm looking at it, and if they, you know, this next 2 weeks, if you get through it, you're going to feel pretty good about what's sitting there in those final three games. But man, if this offensive line is as banged up as it looks like it might be, look, they could also only be missing Josh Simmons by the time they play next, right? We'll see with practice this week, but I think there's a world where both Smith and Taylor play and then Moore slides over to the left side. And that's been an okay combination for them this year. And if that's the case, they'll probably be okay. But if it's you're missing Simmons, Taylor, and Smith,
yep,
I don't know that they're overcoming that. That seems like too much. Mahomes is going to be under fire. They're going to have to run the ball. They don't run the ball that well.
It's the number one reason that they've struggled. The only reason the Chiefs have struggled on offense is when Mahomes is under fire.
Now, Mahomes misses throws too. Like,
he does, but a lot of it, every game that they've looked good in, watch the film. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
He sits there and just first option, second option. Then he improvises, and that's what he does well. And they look like that in every game that we have calling them good in. And every game that we are calling them not good in, it's the 1-2, crap, here we go, and then miss a throw, and then now it's a whole thing. Like, that's what it's become, and that's it's just the recipe for disaster, and
I'd rather them be down a wide receiver not named Rashee Rice or two than the offensive line. I mean,
But even the good offensive line, like, at times, like, I don't know what to make of the offensive line. Whenever they got Simmons back for two games there, you were like, yeah, all right, they look good. And then they still have their healthy offensive line, and it's like, well, that wasn't what I saw a couple weeks. Like, what's going on? Like,
they scored 28 on Dallas. I look, chances are low, Chiefs fans, but they're not a zero.
It kills me that people just can't quit them either. And
I can't quit them. How do you quit them?
It's like a drug.
Until they're done, like, they're not done. Everybody in football should.
If
Mahomes has a pulse, you should still be a little concerned about.
I will be enamored, impressed.
Yeah, it'll be. It's daunting. All right, that does it for us on Sports Daily. Here we are. We're trying to make it through this Monday. Too much to get to. We'll continue the discussions tomorrow. We have Wyatt Thompson in tomorrow. Good timing because we'll have a reaction to K-State Bowling Green. We kind of talked about Wichita State needing to respond. K-State did not look good in their last game. Like, we need them to respond too. Get back to what has us optimistic. So we'll have that. We'll get with Wyatt on the fallout, kind of the post-mortem on K-State football as well. Looking forward to it. Monday Night Football tonight. Not one that's very exciting. Max's Patriots will be in action if you'd like to see them play the Giants. I suppose Jackson Dart could make that interesting. Expected to be back tonight. You'll hear that tonight at 6 o'clock. Actually, it'll go to KNSS because K-State basketball is on KFH against Bowling Green. So a lot of action tonight on the Odyssey family of networks. I'll see you on TV tonight. TJ, enjoy the rest of the day off here.
I will. We'll be back tomorrow morning, though, bright and early.
Thanks to Paul Mills. Thanks to Joshua Briscoe. For Max, for TJ, I'm Jacob. See you tomorrow.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.